This is Woodburn Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Howdy, howdy, Warbird fans. This is the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here, coming into you for our first 2012 show here on WarbirdRadio.com. I'm your host, Ryan Keough, one of the folks over at the Wix Warbird Forum. And joining me, as he is most of the time, is my co-host, Zane Adams, who's one of our moderators over at the forum. Zane, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. We've got some, I'm not sure if this is coming through, but we got some weird noise coming through here. But anyhow, we're joining you like we are most weeks, and we're talking Warbirds this evening. And we are live if you're listening to us here on January 11th, 2012. And we're taking your calls this evening. Give us a call at 478-787-4768 to get into the studio. And we'll be chatting Warbirds and the current news that's coming out with Warbirds here, the first show of the 2012 season. Certainly it's been a great 2011, certainly we've got a lot of interesting projects on tap for 2012. What are you looking forward to most, Zane, off of this entire year as we round the corner?
Well, it's kind of the theme of the week so far has been, the NTSB and ICAS hearings. Mm-hmm. Up there in Washington, D.C. that Matt has covered well here on WarburgRadio.com.
Absolutely.
That is kind of the like I said, the theme of the week is safety. Mm-hmm. we had a bad year last year in air shows.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I hope and pray for a much safer year in air shows, and hope we can go back to the last couple of years when we had zero fatalities in the air show business to performers there. And certainly hope that that they can find ways to make things safer for the participants, as for the crowds, the people that show up and go to air shows. Mm-hmm. So that's a little soapbox deal there. I just hope we have a real safe year.
Absolutely.
As far as airplanes go, here in my local area, the B-26K, the Special K airplane is under restoration, and they've got some hope to get it painted. The Air Force, I think they've got a deal to help paint that airplane with the Air Force if they can get it to Florida, I believe. And they've got a good group of volunteers that are working hard on that airplane. I saw on their on the Facebook page yesterday for the Greatest Generation Aircraft, which is kind of leading that restoration, that they've got the new props hung on it as of yesterday. So that's good news. I'm really looking forward to seeing that K model fly. I mean, that's an exciting machine. It's the last of its type out there that'll ever fly, I believe. And that's one thing that's really exciting. Looking for the IL-2 to come into the country.
I heard news that they have got. I guess that's going to be on its way very shortly. Not sure in terms of timetable, but I'm not sure if they're going to be ferrying it over, or if it's going to be actually flown, or if it's going to be crated up and brought over. I would say the safest way of doing it, but
yeah, I think I saw something that it was being crated and going to be shipped. So,
Well, that's certainly a good one. I'm really looking forward to the Aspex Mosquito. That's going to be the one that would wow me when it comes up here to the States. Of course, that's a long way off. It was rolled out a couple of weeks ago. Airplane looked great. They got a couple of videos up there, including one that if you're a fan of Benny Hill, you'll appreciate that one. So you can check that out on YouTube, and that's linked from Wix as well. But that one, I mean, I can't wait for that to come to the States here, and I'll go anywhere to see that thing fly on on a first U.S. soil flight, I guess. But that's going to be my big one, of course. But we've got a lot of stuff that's been pretty much mentioned out there. We got a couple of TBMs that are getting ready to fly, including the Vintage Air or the Valiant Air Command TBM down in Florida. That'll be taken to the skies again. Then the Florida wing of the CAF, their TBM might get done in 2012, might go into 2013 as well. So we'll have a couple more turkeys in the air as well. Possibly Fantasy of Flight's A-26 will be in the air. Possibly another couple of P-40s in the future. So it looks like a pretty darn good year potentially for Warbird fans out there. Of course, with that, we've had a couple of setbacks in terms of flying aircraft too. One most notably, and I don't know if you saw this, Zane, was I don't know if anybody on listening to us tonight are familiar at all with the long story of the AD-4N Skyraider that was purchased back, I believe it was 2008 by Claude Hendrickson.
Yeah, 2008, yeah.
Yeah, and it was basically imported over. It was brought over from France over here to the United States, and there was some issues at the time. It was unclear at the time as to what was creating the problems, but ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, seized the airplane and basically locked it away, the final verdict came out this past week that the airplane was indeed seized by the government, and it is not being transferred back over to Claude Hendrickson, and the airplane is going to be transferred to the Naval Aviation Museum in Pensacola, Florida. Basically, a flying aircraft now is going to be transitioned over to a static museum because of some paperwork issues and some possible legal wrongdoings. Early stages looks like lots of forms were not filled out correctly, and there was some possible strange underhanded ways of getting certain parts of the airplane, including the 20mm cannons, into the United States without anybody knowing about it. So
that whole part seems weird to me, and you just playing devil's advocate here on the other side is Customs initially impounded the airplane, and apparently that was before the airplane was here and registered by the FAA before the firearms, the 20mm cannons, came in. They weren't with the airplane. They were removed from the airplane, and they were shipped in, I guess, as part of the purchase. When you buy a Warbird, a lot of times you get a trailer load of parts and that kind of thing, and these were coming in over in, on a boat. The airplane was flown over via Iceland and over here, but they weren't with the airplane, and yeah, there may be some paperwork things there, but that just seems a little fishy to me.
ICE says
talk to ATF, and ATF says talk to ICE, and from some of those things I've heard, obviously something didn't go right. Something, whether it was the entry form, or the bill of lading, or the sale itself, or the importation of the airplane, something was not right there. There was some due diligence that it leads you to believe that the owner didn't do something right, but it's just hard to believe that they'd impound and take away the airplane and not give them a chance to make the airplane right over the ATF's deal with the guns, which seems to me is two different issues. But
I would certainly think so too. It just seems kind of one of the things that I looked at and posted by, you know, one of our fellow hosts here on warbirdradio.com, Chris Henry, who is on the Warbird Rescue Hour. He posted a snippet that he found on the ICE website in regards to the case, and it looks like, you know, there's a bunch of infringements that were at issue at this point. That the aircraft, I mean, the 20 millimeter cannons arrived at the port of Savannah, Georgia, in October of 2008, inside of 2 40-foot shipping containers, and the cannons were concealed in a wooden box hidden under aircraft parts in the nose of one of the containers, and the cannons weren't listed on the entry form, bill of lading, invoice, or other documentation that was submitted for the importation. So, it being hidden, and then on top of that, not on any sort of paperwork, leads me to believe that you know, they got an answer that they didn't want, and they decided to do it anyway.
That's true. And mm-hmm. if that part is true, you know, what the government is saying there on the, in their case, you know, which we really don't have any reason to disbelieve that part, I'm still wondering why the airplane's involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it was not, they're not with the airplane.
Right. Right.
Exactly. That's what's blowing my mind here.
Well, I guess one of the things I guess they could say, and I probably is using this, and of course I have a really sneaking suspicion that possibly that this is being used as an example, that, you know, you don't, if anybody does this, you know, somewhat under the nose of you know, the government, and, you know, without them knowing about it, they're going to make an example of you. Well, I think this is one of those cases. I mean, technically, a lot of people have said that because the aircraft was outfitted with this, with these, you know, cannons, it was, you know, able to be received into it, that the airplane itself was considered to be a weapon, and it was brought right in here, you know, illegally because of the, you know, the certain paperwork was not filled out. And then on top of that, I guess to add insult to injury, the ferry pilot that was bringing the airplane in from France into the United States provided false information to U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers at the port of Buffalo, New York, to gain admittance into the country. Now, it doesn't go on to say anything, you know, further about that, but certainly that doesn't help the case at all, you know.
There's definitely something fishy going on, but I just, you know, this press release by the government on the firearms, to me, doesn't have anything to do with the airplane. Now, if the airplane had equal issues, which they haven't said anything about or we don't know about, then, and it leads you to believe that it possibly did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this may have been all in one bill of sale, and the airplane was expected to be going through customs, you know, at the same time as all the parts, or, you know, that kind of deal. So there obviously was something going on, some shenanigans by somebody.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
To get to this point, obviously something was wrong. You know, where there's mm-hmm. smoke, there's usually fire when the government's after you like that. So
that is true. That is true. Well, we'll be talking about it through the remainder of the evening, and mentioning it as well. And we welcome anybody who has an opinion on this to call in. Again, the phone number to reach the studio, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. And it's about 16 minutes after the hour on January 11th, 2012. So if you're listening to us at that time, you're listening to us live, and we'd love to hear your call. Of course, call in any other time as well. So, or call in for any other reason as well. I mean, talk about warbirds, and this is our little chat session here this evening.
little hanger flying going on.
Exactly. Well, one of the things, I mean, that is the good thing about this Sky Raider issue, I guess, where there is where there is a loss, certainly of flying aircraft, you know, certainly an 84N is going, it's not going to be scrapped. It's going to a good home. It's going to the Naval Aviation Museum. They have, you know, obviously a need for an 84 Sky Raider. It's painted up in Navy colors. So it's a good, you know, it's at least a windfall for them when it comes right down to it. But, you know, it's too bad that an airplane was taken off of flying status, but certainly it's better than, you know, being melted down into a toaster. So
beer cans. We've got plenty of beer cans. So.
Exactly, which certainly could have happened. I mean, obviously the government is, not a front to doing that kind of thing. And of course, with scrap metal being at such a premium these days, it certainly could have been sold off to scrap dealers or whatever. But at least they had a little bit of foresight in that. Mm. But
it's definitely scary times. I mean, who knows what the government's actually doing and what kind of example, like you said, they're trying to make. And, you know, I would hate to have this reflect, and you don't want it to reflect badly on warship or warbird ownership and import of airplanes from Europe or from Australia or from anywhere else. You know, they're coming into the country. You know, this kind of scrutiny is not needed, and, you know, for the community, of course.
Yeah, and of course, you know, one of the things that people usually use as a rule of thumb is if the aircraft was originally built in the United States, was brought outside the country and was brought back into the country, that was traditionally, you know, not a problem. Well, this was a case where an aircraft was built by Douglas, went out of the country, and then came back into the country. So that rule no longer seems to apply. And there was an issue earlier on in the decade where a Spitfire was brought back over to the United States and encountered some problems too, which were eventually resolved and the airplane was brought in flying condition. But if it can happen to both of those types of aircraft, we got a lot of airplanes that are being restored in Australia and are being restored in New Zealand that are being imported every year, it seems like. And sure. Certainly it's something that we have to look out for, especially in our election season, and potentially changing of the guard for a lot of congressional positions and a lot of cabinet positions and perhaps even an executive office position as well. Who knows? We're going to be a lot of these things are going to be further scrutinized as well. So certainly something to look out for on our radar screens for the year. So
you've got to be very careful.
Absolutely. So, again, give us a call tonight if you're just hanging around and have an opinion on the topic. Give us a call, 478-787-4768 here in the studio, here at the Wicks Warbird Weekly, live here on warbirdradio.com. That brings up an interesting point. One of the things, everybody's been tied up speaking about the New Hampshire Republican primary, which just happened yesterday, and coming out in the lead was Mitt Romney, but interestingly enough, Ron Paul came in second place there. But a lot of the issues that folks are talking about are obviously grand, issues that the country at large are worried about. But a lot of folks, at least in the aviation industry, are wondering, who's the most pro aviation, who's the most warbird friendly, who's the most defense friendly, and who's going to be the person that might not take such a hard line on these kind of things. And so I'm interested to see, obviously it's probably not going to be something that we'll see very soon, but I'm interested to see who might find a little bit of interesting information about any one of the candidates that are currently out there, and what their stance on warbirds and flying air show displays and such are happening. Because you mentioned this past week with the NTSB hearing, air shows at least are being closer scrutinized. Air racing is being closer scrutinized as well. So certainly, this is something that possibly the executive office might have a role or at least an opinion in the near future. So. Who knows on that one? So it's a little bit early to tell for me, at least at this point, and I suspect probably for you as well, Zane.
Oh yeah, it's always. Of course, they've been talking this election for 2 years or more now. So and the first vote really, was last week. So I mean, there's a long way to go, of course, but it's always interesting to see what. Because government does run aviation in this country, and where candidates stand on aviation. We all know where they stand on a lot of issues, but aviation is one of those things that just doesn't seem to really stand out as an issue. But for a lot of people, and then the general public, of course, doesn't have the weirdness about aviation that we do, of course. So it's a question worth asking, of course.
That's true.
Apparently, we do know that obviously Rick Perry knows Rod Lewis, who's a big air warbird guy, because his wife was on board their B-25 when they had a recent incident down there at the ranch. So, that's one clue that we have. But other than that, I have no idea.
I don't know if Mitt likes the RAF or anything like that, or if Ron Paul is a P-51 fan, or who knows?
That would be important to know.
For at least us. But if anybody out there in our listening listening land has any intel on this, we'd love to hear it again. 478-787-4768 to give us a call in the studio this evening and talk a little bit about Warbirds here. Let's see what else.
I guess John McCain, he was a pilot, so at least we knew that much last time around. But
yeah, I mean that is true. I mean, he was an A4 driver. Of course, he didn't have the greatest experience driving an A4, still we respect the heck out of him for.
He was there hanging it out on the line, so you know. Mm-hmm.
That is true. That is true. And he is a fan of aviation here in the state. And of course, here in Arizona, aviation is a very, very big enterprise. You know, you can't get around half the state without, you know, air means, let's just say. We've always been a very pro aviation state out here. Same with Texas. Texas is the same kind of thing too. But
wide open spaces mm-hmm. do well with airplanes. So
absolutely. You know, and you got the rich oilman that can take care of all, you know, take care of the fuel bills for the airplanes too.
Yeah, and a lot of them seem to be involved in that. So yeah,
mm-hmm. That's true. Well, go ahead.
Well, I just speaking of, we're back on airplanes and restorations and stuff. Yeah. It's a little bit that crossed the Wix wire last week. Well, this week on January, I mean, there was posts on it on Saturday, and I had completely missed this. But the Howard Hughes' old B-23 Dragon apparently has been bought and has been moved to Sanders Aeronautics there in California.
Really?
Jim Slattery and Sanders Aeronautics have acquired the airplane and are trying to move it and looking for funds to move it and restore it back to airworthy condition. So, you know, this is the one that sat at, I guess, Ione, California for years. Mm-hmm. And the Ford Howard Hughes airplane's N747 is the N number on the airplane. So it was a little blurb there that I saw on the Wix forum today. And I completely missed that airplane, you know, was under some good care all of a sudden. So that's good news to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ever since it was flown in the 90s by, I believe, Mike Bogue had it for a while and was flying it around. Great looking airplane. Corporate interior, you know, all the way. It had more history, obviously, as the Hughes aircraft than it did in military service. But, you know, classic, beautiful looking airplane and such. And, you know, it's been a while since a B-23's been up in the air. Of course, you know, there was a B-23 transaction a couple of years back when the Commemorative Air Force B-23 was sold to the 1941 Historic Aircraft Group up in Geneseo, New York. Of course, that airplane, it's been partially disassembled, but still a lot of parts and pieces, from what I understand, are still sitting down in Midland, and they haven't really gotten into the restoration of the airplane beyond, you know, initial cleaning stages of it up in Geneseo. So, I mean, certainly there's a prospect of that airplane going back together, but, you know, this was the next best airplane out there for candidate, and certainly I would think that it wouldn't be too tough for Sanders to bring the airplane back up to the airworthy condition again, but all it takes is greenbacks and
you know, big dollars.
Exactly. And airplanes tend to you know, eat up a lot of it, but that's great that they've got it back at least in some positive moving care. And then there's still one up in Moses Lake, Washington, that's still sitting, and I guess that one's in pretty sad shape as well, needs a lot of tender loving care. You know, time will only tell. I mean, it was it went up for auction, never met the auction price back in, I believe, the late 90s, early 2000s, I believe it was, when a bunch of aircraft were sold that were part of a firebombing force that was up there. You know, that airplane's kind of just been sitting there as well. So who knows? We might see a B-23 up in the air within the next 5-10 years, hopefully. So cross our fingers.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see. I remember seeing the one that just moved to New York, the former CAF bird. I remember seeing it fly when I was a kid at mm-hmm. air shows, and at the time I was like, "Well, okay, that's kind of, you know, funny looking, and mm-hmm. you know, yeah, it's a bomber, but you know, it's not a B-17. Get that thing out of the way." But you know, which is part of the fate of the B-23. That's the reason they are the way they are. You know, there wasn't that many of them built, and you know, it's a rare bird, and it's good to, like you said, it's good to see that there's positive movement on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's one of those birds that, that people don't realize it could have had a pretty good role in history. The B-23 was considered for the Doolittle raid, but the wingspan of the aircraft prevented it from flying off the aircraft carrier. So,
right.
If the airplane had just slightly shorter wings, it could have been a very, very well known airplane, and of course possibly beaten out your North American product there, Zane. So
tough luck there. Huh?
Yeah. You're like, no Douglas would ever do something like that. Anyways, so.
Which there's more Douglases flying today than there is North American products. So,
I guess that's true. But there are a lot of P-51s flying out there, and a lot of B-25s too. You know, B-25s, a lot of P-51 of the bomber community.
A lot of DC-3s still earning their keep, though. So,
yeah, that's true too. That is true too. Well, you know, hey, can't at least both companies build fantastic products. Just leave it at that.
Right. And they're both owned by Boeing now. So
yeah. Very true. Very, yeah, that is true too. So I guess we can't speak bad of either of them because they're both part of the same product line.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back with you, we'll be speaking more about it. But we hope to get some calls here, so we'd love to hear from you at 478-787-4768 to give us a call here in the studio and talk to Zane and I here and chat a little bit about Warbirds. You're listening to the Wix Warbird Weekly Live radio show here on warbirdradio.com for January 11th, 2012.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, we're back here with the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on warbirdradio.com, and I'm your host Ryan Keough, along with co-host Zane Adams from the Wix Warbird Forum. We're talking Warbirds this evening, and we would love to hear from you. Again, if you're listening to us on January 11th, 2012, you're listening to the live show, so give us a call, 478-787-4768, to give us a call here in the studio and chat a little bit about Warbirds. Well, it's been, you know, one of the other things that I kind of noticed, we've been talking a little bit about airplanes that haven't seen the skies in a while. One of the airplanes that is going to be taken to the skies, hopefully this weekend, crossing our fingers, is the EC-121T Super Constellation, also known as a Warning Star, that had been sitting up at Camarillo Airport in Camarillo, California for, well, gosh, the better part of almost, well, a decade or more, actually, at this point. I remember reading about the airplane in Air Classics magazine when I was growing up in Warbirds. So that airplane was transferred over to the Yanks Air Museum, and they've gotten the airplane into flyable condition for a ferry flight for the short hop from Camarillo down to Chino, California, and it's expected to take place on Saturday. So they're making a whole event out of it and trying to get everybody down there, and I guess they're going to have special tours and that kind of stuff and greet the airplane when the airplane comes in. So
that's cool. That was kind of a surprise news to me. I mean, I hadn't kept up with it, but that's a cool deal. I don't know if it's ever going to fly again once they get down there, but I would hope that it would be able to do that, be able to fly some. And yeah, who knows, there may be a group of people in California there that just would go nuts and want it to happen. Once it's up and running, it's a little easier to keep it that way than it is to, let it sit a while. So
exactly, they get cranky when they sit a while. So, yeah. Well, the one thing that a lot of folks on Wix mentioned was they were saddened that that Yanks really doesn't fly their airplanes. It's a one-way trip traditionally when the airplanes come in there. But, you know, one of the things that I've seen, I mean, Yanks has had this plan for years to be, you know, kind of a new aviation museum, and they were going to relocate to kind of the central part of California, I believe it was. They were going to basically build a, you know, kind of like an aviation theme park slash destination center, and the entire museum would, you know, basically get up and move up to this new location, and the airplanes would be in flying condition again at that point, because it would be a lot more practical to do so. But that's been kind of a plan that seems to be about 15 years plus in the process at this point, and considering that they're flying the airplane into Chino, it kind of makes me wonder if that plan to relocate the museum and really have this end result ever happen. So who knows at this point? I'm really kind of concerned whether or not, you know, the history of Yanks is kind of meant to be just in Chino at this point. But, you know, I guess if you've got a place to go to, Chino's a great destination for warbirds no matter what. So, you know, that's my two cents on it. But at least it's going to a good home, and it's not going to be sitting out in the outside and, you know, neglected up in Camarillo anymore. That was how it was for many years. And, you know, it's going to be at least on public display, and, you know, everybody can see it at least down there. So that's a good thing. We're taking calls again. Give us a call, 478-787-4768, to give us a call here in the studio again, 478-787-4768, to touch base with us here at the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on Warbird Radio. Other things that are kind of in the news here that we've been talking about a little bit. The new news actually just announced today. First time I think I've seen it ever coming into this air show. The Valiant Air Command, the Tyco Air Show that happens in Florida, March 9th through 12th, just announced today that the B-29 Fifi is going to be coming in for that air show, and that's a great air show that has been. It's probably one of the longest Warbird air shows that's been on, you know, on the schedule for years at this point. Took a little bit of a downturn for a while, but is really rebuilding itself as a premier Warbird event in Florida. And they'll be having the B-29 in there. I think this is the first time that they've actually brought the B-29 in for that show. So that'll be a fantastic addition to that schedule, and something certainly that folks in Florida haven't seen for a long time. So that would be great to see that. So hopefully that will take place and such. Again, give us a call, 478-787-4768 to catch us here in the studio. A little treat for everybody here. We actually got a voicemail a little bit earlier on. So for Warbird, for Wix forum members, you might know this voice if you're listening tonight and know the person that called in. So we've got his voicemail to play here and sending his greetings for 2012. Let's see if we can cue this up and go.
Hi, it's just Bill Greenwood. Just wanted to say hi to you guys. I guess Zane's there. I don't know who else is there. I just want to say hello. If I sound a little funny, I've got a bit of bronchitis, but other than that, doing well.
There you go, Ryan. Bill Greenwood,
hey,
calling in.
Bill Greenwood. Haven't heard from him in a while. He was a great member of Wix for a long time. I know a lot of people still remember his posting days and such. And, of course, Bill is the owner of the famous two-seat Spitfire that was flying here in the United States for a while and is currently under re-restoration I think Fort Collins, Colorado, is where that's currently being rebuilt. So hopefully we'll see him in the skies in the near future. But Bill's just kind of taking a bit of a hiatus from Wix for a little while, and we're glad to hear his voice, glad that he's doing well and stuff, and hopefully we can have him on the show sometime in the near future here too. And
looks like we have another call that came in here. We might have maybe they can call back, but we'll see. That looks like they did leave a voicemail. You want to try it? This is
sure.
You never know what you're going to hear on this, so. Here we go. We'll see what we get.
Hi. Hey, I was calling. Was this off topic, but I was wondering if you guys have heard any updates on what's going on with the Liberty Bell and if they're looking at putting her back together, you know, static, or I've heard something about they were going to try to put it in flying condition. Just kind of curious how things were going with that, if you guys have had any updates on her. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you for the call, and I, you know, absolutely. Certainly call back. It's funny you bring that up. I just talked to, we had Tom on the show not too long ago, Tom Riley.
Mm-hmm. Tom Riley,
and,
yeah.
Spoke to Ray Fowler last night, in fact, and it sounds like, from what I can gather, is it's at this point it's a question of parts, but in talking with Ray the last time he was on the show, I think he said publicly, that, you know, it was a question really of time and time and resources, but yeah, the plan is to fly the Bell again. So
Now there's another project. At this project, point, though, they would be using the fuselage and the airframe
no.
the aircraft that they
no,
recovered
that's not
from.
That's not the plan, from what I'm told. But
oh, really?
Not how I understood it. Now you could I would suggest going back because I don't want to put words in the people's mouths. But I think if my memory serves me correct, that the plan is to continue the other, you know, the F model B-17 that's down there right now, continue that as a separate project, and then, you know, hopefully that was kind of the plan all along, and then hopefully get the Bell back in the air at some point. So I hope I'm not speaking out of school on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the plan.
You know,
we're talking way out, so.
Yeah, well, exactly. But still, I mean, if anybody can do it, Tom Riley can do it.
Tom's
and
the guy.
with the backing of the Liberty Foundation, I mean, they can certainly do it. So,
don't forget about the P-40. I mean, the P-40 is still down there and a very viable machine, and they have some other assets as well that, you know, people don't often think about, but there's some good airplanes that they have down there. Some beautiful airplanes.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, you know, you've never, in my opinion, there's never been a more welcoming individual in the Warbird business. If you want to go see some airplanes, go down to Douglas, Georgia, take the short drive, and go down and see Tom. Just go down there. You know, if he's there, he'll, and in the shop, usually the door's open. So
yeah, and the cats are there to greet you too.
They're there, and everybody's down there. So just, you know, go down there and see a place. Where else can you go and see an XP-82 and a B-17 under the same roof? You know,
that is true. And honestly, get a chance to speak with probably one of the most experienced Warbird restoration specialists in the country, if not the world. Honestly,
well, and a guy too that can completely relate to the individual who shows up and says, "What's this? You know, I don't even know what this is." Well, that's a P-51. Oh, well, what was that? Well, that's a World War II. Tom understands that, because if you listen to any of the old interviews that we've done with Tom, you know, that's exactly where he was at, you know, a long time ago. But, you know, he had no idea. The Mustang shows up and, you know, he says, "What's that? I'd like to go for a ride." Sure, buy the gas. And then the next day he was in the old airplane business. So, you know, one of my favorite Tom Riley stories is with Larry Kelly talking about Panchito. And, you know, Larry had always wanted to have a B-25 someday. And when he was financially able to do that, you know, Panchito came on the market. They raced down there to buy it. And Tom's out checking the airplane out, even though he had restored it some time ago. And Larry's in there doing the paperwork. They get the paperwork finished. They go outside, and Larry says, "Wow, how do you get in it?" So, you know, so Tom like takes him through the airplane, you know, and he taught him how to fly it, of course. But what a great guy, and a man who's given so much to the, you know, to the Warbird community as a whole. I mean, what a great guy, and just really love the story, and would encourage anybody to go down there.
Absolutely.
We're still trying to connect with Zane. He's not magically being quiet.
Well, you can't keep a Texan down for very long.
Not for long, and it's just I don't know what's going on over there tonight.
I saw a picture on Facebook that he posted of massive, you know, clouds and formations of crows flying around.
So
I think Armageddon's coming to the Greater Dallas Fort Worth area. Quite frankly,
he's there, but it's not.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. There he is. But can he hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
Because we weren't sure if you could hear us or not.
I'm waiting for a swarm of locusts.
you've had a night, Zane. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I'm sitting here minding my own business, listen to Ryan wax eloquently about Lockheed constellations, and the house goes completely dark. So, you know, the computer was on, but for just a second, and the power, you know, the backup power thing said, "We're going to shut this down now," and I had no Nothing. Yeah. I was dark in the house for 2 minutes.
The locusts are going to be on their way any time now. So.
Yeah. Bring on the
here.
Pests, right?
Happy 2012, by the way, guys. It's been nice having you back on the airwaves tonight. And I know your listeners out there appreciate you coming back. And, you know, we're looking forward to some new stuff down the line. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm just excited as all get out to be here still and still be doing this. So we've had a great run the last few years, and things are only looking up. So welcome to 2012.
I was going to say this is coming on almost 3 years now that you.
Well, sort of. You know, we didn't get started. We started in August and didn't get the live stuff started until October. So, we're at the end of coming on 2.5 years or something like that. Whatever it is, I don't know. I don't keep track.
Who keeps track?
I can tell you what the savings account was before we started and what. what it is now.
Well, that's kind of like Warbirds, though. You know,
that's how I measure the time around here is how much money's gone in. So
but, to make a small fortune from a very large one.
Yeah,
that's all.
Well, you know,
labor love. We love Warbird Radio, and I know, I've talked to dozens of people in person and over the phone and such, and a lot of listeners out there, a lot of people tuning in throughout the week.
You're absolutely right. And I say that, and we've never really publicized this, but, you know, we ran the numbers for just last year alone, and I'm just talking about podcast downloads. You know, 379,000, almost 380,000 downloads, and that's just on the podcast side. That's not on the live listener side. And, you know, all my years in terrestrial radio and television, you know, people would say, well, how many listeners do you have? Or how many people watch the nightly news? Or how many of this? It's always kind of this, black magic, smoke and mirrors, and nobody really
this
knew.
Nobody from
really,
nowhere.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Nobody really knew. There was a good way to guess, but, you know, I mean, no one really knew. And in this day and age, to be able to say, well, we've had exactly, you know, this number. It's terrific, and I think what it does is it, you know, whether it's a museum who's coming on here and wanting to talk, or a restoration project, it really gives people a valuable platform to use and help spread, you know, hopefully some history and some information with, and that's what we're trying to do here is keep the stories alive. And
amen.
So you know, it's coming together. There's a lot of you out there that are listening that are part of the family. If you just discovered the station, we're glad you're here. Please participate. Please call in. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And
it's weird to me how people out there in the world, I was at a photo expo, this photography little convention thing they had here locally, and a guy walked up to me and said, are you Zane Adams? And I said, yeah. He said, I've seen you on the Warbird Radio site. It blew me away. So it freaks me out when people recognize
well you know
me.
You're
I'm
in
like,
the
wait a minute.
I'm from Texas. I'm misplaced right now in Virginia, but Texas and California, man. Those you folks who are from Texas and California and from Australia and New Zealand. I'm going to say that as a whole, but you folks are bringing in the you're our bread and butter. So we're glad you're out there, especially Dallas. Yeah, especially Dallas.
Well, cool. I'll keep spreading the word.
There you go, Dallas, Texas. We
before long, Zane, you're gonna have to do your show live and have like a studio audience and stuff. I mean,
I'm telling you,
I'll be out on the street corner with a microphone.
He's gonna be like Phil Donahue down there in Dallas. So,
if you don't watch out, Zane, I mean, you might be out on that street corner anyway because it might be the only place you get a signal and if the power keeps going off out there. But
yeah,
hey.
Well, yeah,
you know who
that's
I'd
what
love
happened.
To have
I mean, it was 65 today. It's gonna be 29 tonight. We got a cold front coming through. Oh. So. I imagine the wind changed direction and some wires hit together or something. I mean,
I really think you need to have the bushes on.
Yeah.
Talking
about if I could
TBMs
get W on here, I
106s.
Would.
Yeah. How cool would that be? That would be fun. We've never had a president on. We should do that.
There I was.
I'll work on it.
I'd love that.
I know where he lives.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people.
My favorite George H. Bush story was one year we were all sitting at the Houston Rodeo. And they surprised everybody, and he came riding in on a longhorn steer, on a longhorn cow with like a saddle on it. And Barbara was not far behind him. I don't remember what she was on, but here they came. And I mean, just, you know, that's, you know, they're he's an amazing guy. He really is an amazing individual. Politics aside, he's an amazing individual. And flew TBMs in the war, and, you know, still out doing his thing. So yeah. Like so many guys, yeah. But that always stood with me. You know, here's a guy in his well into his senior years, and you know, here he comes in on a Longhorn. You know, a Longhorn steer to the big rodeo.
What was it? Not too long ago, for his 80th birthday or something like that.
He skydived.
I mean,
right. Yeah, he's done it more than once.
Yeah.
So, just incredible. Well,
just a great family. I mean, honestly, you know, between he and our recent president George W. Bush and then Jeb Bush, yeah. Heck, you know, the entire family. I mean, born under a good sign, I guess.
There you go. Well, it's been
and it all started fun. With TBMs. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Ryan, have you been able to reach out to the fellow there at Buckeye? Because what a cool story that's going to be when we can get it.
I have not been able to make good confirmed communication with him yet. That's been a little bit of a challenge, actually, that I've been trying to get my hands around and stuff, try to find a good way of communicating with him. He's not, I guess, not very up on the email thing, but, you know, I've tried that.
I don't care. We can send a carrier pigeon over there. What a place. I remember landing there, and I thought, God, you know, what? Is this a mirage or am I seeing? And it's like the longer you look,
Twilight Zone
like,
movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And they're all under like a hail shed, and mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's a repository.
It is definitely. And they're all relatively recent airplane additions, too. I mean, only within the last 10 years those airplanes have all been moved there. So, right. I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, he's talked about doing a museum for a while. And, you know, I know that several communities have been interested in you know, helping and develop that. And it's just a matter of, I guess, getting the economy back in check again and hopefully getting that stuff up there. But, I mean, some of the airplanes are in great shape. Like the C-119 is beautiful. I mean, and heck, you know, when was the last time you saw a C-119 flying?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. So... But you know, hopefully, I can get a hold of him. So maybe that's our 2012 resolution is that we'll get him and a whole bunch of new guests.
That's worth the trip. I mean, that is worth the trip to see out there, and really is cool stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been going through the schedule here, and some of the big top shows on my list this year certainly is going to be Air Show this year. Got to go to mm-hmm. Air Show this year in Midland, and Wings Over Houston, another big one that. Really hope to be up this year in October down there, and I could spend the whole month of October in Texas.
Oh yeah,
you know, as Zane said,
it's easy. There's an air show every weekend.
There is.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the cold fronts, man. That I can remember like it was yesterday, standing out there down in South Texas, and you look up and the whole sky, you know, is just black. It's just black, you know, and Zane knows what I'm talking about. It's real like low to the horizon. You can just see the gust front coming and. It'll be like 90 degrees, you know, and then as soon as the gust front hits, man alive, is that something fun to see? You know, just the temperature drops like 30 degrees instantly. I remember the energy rush that you'd get from that. It was just incredible.
Yeah. Some of us, you know, just go outside to watch it hit.
Oh, I know. I mean, a norther's coming to town, son. You know, that's what that is. We got a norther. A what? a norther. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Okay. Well, that's exciting though. Everybody gets excited when a cold front blows through in Texas. So, makes the next morning you get up, you're ready to go, and it's a great experience. So,
yeah, this time of year we have a cold front every 6 days or something.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's fun stuff. You know, in South Texas, boy, that's big news.
Yeah,
isn't it nice? It sure is. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute, sweet tea. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it nice? Come on. Yeah, I love it. I miss it. I miss that. Golly.
Well, you know, speaking of South Texas, I was last weekend or last week between Christmas and New Year's, we went down to San Antonio and Austin, and I stopped by the former Kelly Air Force Base to see the B-58 Hustler that they've got sitting out there. That's mm-hmm. now it's, you know, since Kelly is port of San Antonio or something like that. Now it's open, that part of the side of the airfield's open, and the B-58, and there's a F-111 and a couple F-106 sitting there that are on poles, you know, out on displays to see. So we drove by to see the B-58, but
a B-58 on a pole.
Well, it's not on a pole. It's sitting on the ground.
But, okay.
The F-111 is on a pole, which is right next to it. So
that's just equally as big.
It's cool to see a B-58 Hustler. You know, they're pretty rare. So we made a special trip to go see that. And it was so warm. It was 70 degrees out there, and you know, 3 days before New Year's. So South Texas is a special place for weather.
Now, did you go down and pay your respects to the Alamo? Yeah, to the Riverwalk.
Of course. Yeah we went to Alamo. We went to Goliad. We went to Gonzales.
There you go. There you go.
Did you go in the basement?
We went to Shiner. Yeah. No, there's no basement.
Ryan. There's no basement. Come on, Ryan.
Did you see?
Ask Pee-wee, he'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. He stood out there and yelled, "Come and take it," too. So
Well, that's what you do in Gonzales.
Yeah, you got to go down there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we went to Shiner, and you know, they had paid our little pilgrimage there. So you know, paid our respects.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's good fun.
Imbibed a little bit. And, you know.
Yeah.
I remember my seventh grade in Texas. It's required to take Texas history. And Mr. Henderson, he was a taxidermist and assistant football coach. He had a squirrel on his desk. This is no joke. It had tire marks down it that he had stuffed on it from his, you know, on his desk. And anyway, one lady got really upset. She said, "Why does my son have to take Texas history?" She goes, "I just don't get it." And he says, "Well, ma'am, so he doesn't turn out like an idiot." And she looked at him. She goes, "We don't know any idiots." He goes, "You might not." End of discussion. Yeah, end of discussion right there. So, yeah. And needless to say, we all learned our Texas history. So,
I missed out.
You missed out, man. You missed out.
If you don't know Fannin and Crockett and Bowie and Houston
and the War of Northern Aggression, you just don't.
Well, that too. Yeah.
You know, you don't know anything. So, yeah. Well, good fun down there. Good fun. And I'm glad you had fun in the Riverwalk like no other place on earth. And, of course, so I'm told there's a ranch nearby down there.
Yeah.
Where big
cats.
That's,
on my resolution list there, Ryan. Yeah. You get the guy from BFE Arizona, and I'll get the guy from South Texas, maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think yours might be a little bit more exciting.
Zane wants to see the big cats fly on the ranch. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
All right.
There's that one rare bear that I'd like to see.
I hear it's rare.
Really rare. Oh man. Well, welcome back, guys, and glad you're both on. I'll let you have your final few minutes here to yourselves. But what a great season to have you back on, and enjoy that cold front for me, Zane, will you?
Oh yeah, guaranteed.
All right.
And I'll enjoy my warm front out here. My warm, dusty yeah. I won't even go into that.
That's the way it is out west, Ryan. You know,
very true, very true. Well, you know what? At least it's good for storing airplanes like Mr. Lauritsen has out there in Buckeye that we'll get on board. We'll get on board for 2012 year, and hopefully a bunch of others. And you know, for those of you that are listening, if you've got a special somebody that you'd like to hear us interview or have as a guest here, or if you yourself are interested in being a guest, feel free to email either Zane or myself here at Warbird Radio. Our email address is wix@warbirdradio.com, so you can send program suggestions over there, or some folks that might be interested in coming on the show. You know, we'll take all suggestions. Doesn't mean we will accept them, but you know, we'll take all.
Yeah, bring them on. We'll listen. Yeah,
that is true. That is true. And of course, you know, we're here every single week and broadcasting live. So heck, if you just want to shoot the bull, and give us a call here. Keep us handy 478-787-4768 if you want to call in. But we're getting close to the end of the show tonight, so probably won't be taking any more calls for this evening. But you know. You can certainly join us next week here, and always, you know, download the podcast online. If you're listening to this as a rebroadcast, go over to warbirdradio.com, and you can look through all the archives over there for all the shows, and download them and listen to them on demand on podcast. So, great resource to have, and we're glad to be a part of it. And with Wix being turning 16 years old this year, we're going. Oh my gosh, our form's about ready to drive, Zane.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's gonna.
That's just amazing, isn't it? Is the internet that old? Yeah.
It's amazing that it is that old. I mean, heck, I started in 1998. It doesn't even see that. Well, you know, it's an internet revolution. That's what has brought internet radio out here, and that's why
here we are
able to broadcast to you every week. And heck, you know, I'm in Arizona, Zane's in Texas, and Matt's in Virginia, and you know, we're able to do this over the internet. So yeah, great times.
One thing cool about warbirdradio.com is that you know, I mean, you in Arizona, us scattered across the country, and we're talking here, and the, you know, the guys in Indiana and Georgia that are on the show or on the station, it's a good family. So join us.
Absolutely, we are all a family. But well, thanks for tuning in, folks, this evening, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks for joining us for the January 11th show here on warbirdradio.com. From Zane and myself, have a great night.